Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Let us take our hymn book, 343. We'll open our service. Let's sing it. It's a time where we're praying for the Lord to give us peace. Let's sing it together.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it
Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to gather in your name in this place. We thank you for the strength and health that you've given those among us. We thank you that in so much as preventing this group of people from experiencing perhaps the virus firsthand, and God, there are those that we have been thinking about, asking, Lord, that you'd watch over them, just like the scripture teaches us to pray, that they would not be led into temptation but delivered from evil. God, I ask that you would continue that in our midst and among our fellowship. I also thank you for just the opportunity to be reacquainted with the truth of gathering together in your name. What a privilege it is. What an honor to come together as believers in Christ to rejoice in fellowship, singing your praises, seeking your face in prayer, gathering in worship. Lord, today we are given the opportunity to not just rehearse, but rejoice in the things that you have done in and through your servants that we have had a part in sharing in ministry with through the Leonards. We thank you that there are guests today. We ask that you'd give them a blessed time, all the safety and, Lord, the care that we can provide. And God, that we'd be able to rejoice together today in their sharing with us and remembering in ministry. Lord, as we reflect on the scriptures today and what you're accomplishing through them, God, I ask that you'd bless our time. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to turn to Romans. I'm going to read portion of the end of chapter 12 and read chapter 13. Romans 12, starting at verse 9, on through chapter 13, verse 14. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. And just briefly, talking with John just this morning, he talked about their calling to minister to those who are in the slums or native people in the hill country. And he'll share something on that as well, I'm sure. But it's a mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. It's just the example of the Lord Jesus carried out in our own personal lives. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Oh, what a message for today. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. There we see one aspect of a just government. Verse 5, wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. There's a personal benefit, your own conscience. For this cause, pay tribute also. For they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, but not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts.
Lord, through the strife bring your peace. Where weary prevails, give release. As the shadows linger all around, to our troubled minds and broken land, let there be peace. Let there be peace. O Lord, through the dark shine your light. Where truth seems unclear, help our sight. Lift the veil that covers blinded eyes. Give a vision of you only wise. Let your light shine.
Let your light shine.
Let your light shine.
Lord, have all mercy and
rain down your love in this place.
Rain down your love
in a world where hatred seems so strong. May your grace right the wrong. Strife bring your peace. Where worry prevails, give release. As the shadows linger all around, to our troubled minds and broken land, let there be peace.
Let there be peace.
Let there be peace.
Let there be peace.
Give your peace,
Lord. Give
Today we have with us John and Bev. They were here 4 years ago sharing their ministry. Almost 5 years ago. My understanding is their van's still working. Pray that it's makes it through another month here, right? Most recently, I got this their prayer letter yesterday, so I'm going to leave that on the table for everybody. Bev just, I know the two of them spent some time with their family. Lost her mother, and they had a funeral for her just at the beginning of the month, and lift them, because it's a family time together, and then at the end of the month, they're planning to head on back. So this furlough had been quite an interesting one with COVID-19. What an awkward thing to, you're trying to report to all your churches, and they're closed. You can't go. So we're glad to have them. You've heard the story about them normally being able to come that first week in July because of the family at the family conference that they had at Baptist Mid headquarters. That's not happening because of COVID, so we have them a couple weeks earlier. We're glad that we do. We're going to have a little time of peace to pray, and that's what we're asking you to pray for as Wilma plays. Then we'll sing our song before John and Bev share with us. Shall we pray? Father, we pause and we thank you for your goodness to us. And in this time of service, we typically reflect on your generosity to us. In this moment, God, I'd ask that you just help us to reflect on the goodness of your provisions setting in place for us the family. You are a good, good father. You have shown us in so many ways what that means and how that works. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those that fear him. He has tender mercy as a loving father. The scriptures teach about a father loving his child in so much that if the child keeps asking and keeps coming back and asking, is that father who's been asked so many times, is he going to give a snake for a stone? Certainly not. You are a giving God. You provide because of your compassion, but you also take into account when we ask the things that we feel we need. Lord, you provide the parameters in which your children are able to function freely. You're not forcing your will upon us at every turn, though at times, God, we wonder why you don't. Sometimes, Lord, we know that we've strayed, or we know that others are straying so definitely far from you that we wonder at times why we aren't reined in more quickly and more readily. Yet you give us the time to learn our lessons, and in so much as gaining our own experience and helping our own patience so that we might have hope. Lord, you allow us to go through trials so that we are gaining in patience and strength, endurance. We learn resilience through this. God, I am reminded, lastly, in terms of the Lord Jesus, in that just before he breathed his last, he was looking at his mother and he saw that disciple that he loved beside her. And in that loving way, we recognize that place of a man for his family. Being certain, it was Jesus' role even in that moment, just before he breathed his last, just to say, "Woman, behold thy son," and then to John, "Behold thy mother." God, I recognize in that moment what a heart is expressed. A heart is expressed of the caring nature of a loving God. May we reflect that as men in our families, that every detail that we can possibly imagine, we're already thinking ahead for our children, thinking ahead for our families. The problems that they will face, we've already faced some of them, so God, that we would at least have a mind to prepare their way. And oh God, you did that so much for us in the person and work of the Lord Jesus. You know the problems we face. You know the difficulties. You know the sin and the weakness in our own lives. And you've provided. You've provided for that. God, we ask that you'd honor yourself in this time, and that in that we would reflect. And as men in the congregation thinking about Father's Day, that we would in each way attested reflect your goodness as our loving Father. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 370, a hymn book. Remain seated.
Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowal. Unto each day what he deems best, lovingly its part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Help me then in every tribulation so to trust your promises, O that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within your holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, there to take, as from a Father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments,
John and Bev, the floor is yours.
It's great to be here with you folks. It'll be 5 years next month since we were here last. So it's been quite a while, but it's the only right thing to do is to come back and report, show the answer to your prayers and to your sacrificial giving to the work in Brazil. A lot has happened since we were here last. And this is our report. This time will soon pass. There is hope. Some states are masking up more than others, and we go with what is happening. Is it easy? No. But it's what God has for us. Almost 15 years ago, we had a church going in a slum. No police presence at all. Those who were in charge of the slum, about 6,000 people, were the drug lords. People started getting saved. We would report the ones that got saved to the drug lord. We worked hand in hand with the drug rehabilitation center also, when it was four or five that got saved and they no longer were purchasing drugs. It was okay, but when the number was way higher than that, started bothering them because they were losing money. Now, if you know anything about math, figure it out. If their habit was $50 a day, which is normal down there, someone that is on crack cocaine or meth here in the States, $50 is a low number per day. Okay. So take that times 365, and then take that times 20 or 30 people, and it's a lot of money. And instead of telling us to scram, leave our house, leave our church, leave the slum, he thought it best to take it into his own hands. And after church one Sunday night, He came and shot me six times. And I was shot me four times while I was standing up, and then I fell over and he shot me twice, once in the back, once in the neck. And the one in the neck was the one that crippled me. Our heart was still in Brazil. We were allowed to go back, so we went back. Since we've been back, God has graciously allowed us to be in 6 more church plants. 2 of them are ongoing. We're still working with them. And those are 2 of the 4 that are in native Guarani villages. Pray with us as we go back. Our plane tickets are purchased for the 3rd of August. They're already, it's a done deal. And we're going back. They are way behind us in the virus. It's not very good down there right now. Pray that that'll start clearing up and that things can go back to normal. Church services are supposed to start back up on July 20th down there, about like how you are meeting, with masks, with distancing, and they're going to go in steps and phases like we are, in accordance to what each county, they're divided up down there also. Okay, there's basically a report. And if you have any questions about our work in Brazil, please come to us after. We will be glad to try and answer them. It's an honor to represent God and your church in Brazil as church planters. Let's open our Bibles. The PowerPoint? We'll just go without the PowerPoint today. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. But before we get into the Word of God, let us ask God's blessing once again on this time. Heavenly Father, guide us as we open your Word. May it give us hope in a world without hope. May we shine for you this week through what we learn. Christ, and we pray. Amen. It isn't easy, but it's doable. Traveling as a quadriplegic. So we take off month and a half at a time. We went out west. The homeless situation out west, You have to just see it in the big cities out west. You see it in the news, but it's nothing like being there. And the people, they are just standing around or sitting around. The smell is terrible. The garbage is all over. The drugs, it's just really, really. And one thing that I saw, and we have it down in Brazil, but not to the extent that they have it in some of our big cities, especially out west. And one of the things that I noticed when I was looking at some of them in a tent and going by in my wheelchair, and they didn't bother us or anything, and I spoke with some of them, and I really spoke with some of them after I started noticing that right behind the tents were businesses, and a lot of the businesses had signs, and those signs said "Help Wanted." And I go, "Really? Something wrong here?" And why popped up into my mind, and I said, "Well, there's only one way to find out why. Well, why don't you go get a job? Why are you living it? Why?" So I started talking to them. Many of them have served our country in the armed forces. And they came back and they just didn't fit in, or just sat down one day and said, "What is life all about?" And they couldn't figure it out, so they just stopped. Some of them are college grads. They not only went to college, but they graduated from college. and now they're just homeless. Some of them are on drugs. Some of them are alcoholics. Many of them are neither. But one thing that I noticed, all of them that I talk to are unsaved. And you know, and I know, that the Word of God teaches that life only has a meaning. Life only really has a direction when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So I started sharing Christ with the ones that I spoke to. Some of them didn't even have tents. They were sleeping in the parks, near hotels, under trees even. It's amazing. And you go, really? In the United States of America? Yes, it's happening. And basically, what I came up with is they have not found their place. And they've basically given up. A lot of them tried. You know, they studied, they got a degree, and they basically said it's not worth it. Or they served Air Force, Marines, Army, Navy. And they got out, and they looked around, and they said, it's not worth it. I'm going to give up, and they did. There's a young lady in Luke chapter 1. Brazil's the largest Catholic country in the world. And as Bev and I walk up and down streets of Brazil, I say up and down because we live in the mountains. Our church is in the mountains, so everything is up and down. Nothing is on the level. We meet people, they are either Roman Catholic and they're practicing or they're nominal. They're the Easter Christmas ones, but they all worship and venerate a lady that we only talk about mostly at Christmas time, and that is Mary. And when we identify ourselves and we say, we give a little of the gospel and we ask, is there any questions? They bring up Mary. Your church doesn't like Mary. And I says, what makes you say that? Well, we had a few years ago, there was a televangelist, one of those that screams and hollers and causes a lot of ruckus. We don't have any of those here, right? Yeah. Chose to take a statue of Mary and preach a message, put it beside his pulpit and preach the message with her there. The message was bashing the Catholic Church and making fun of how they worshiped idols and worshiped Mary principally. And halfway through the message, he kicked the statue down the steps and it crashed. It was made out of plaster Paris and it was in a bunch of pieces, and he started laughing and making more fun. There's your God, and etc. And of course, because he did it, and I'm a pastor also, I said, no, I would never do something like that. The Word of God has so much in it to teach that we don't have enough time to be doing things like that, and he should not have. He was wrong. And I don't accept it. It's like if you took the Word of God, if one of your priests took the Word of God and threw it in a fire and burned it, it would really bother me as much or even more so than it bothered you on what he did. And I said, would you like to know on what I believe about Mary? And they said, oh, yes. But here's the part you know. And there is a part you don't know because it is not taught to you. So you know about the angel, right? The angel came to the virgin and told her a story. A story that had never been told before. Of something that was going to happen that had never happened before. And it hasn't happened since. That she was found with child. She would be found with child. And that child would be of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit would descend on her. She didn't understand it wholly, but she accepted it. And we see that in Luke chapter 1, verse 38. The angel came and said, this is your place. And she accepted it. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Later on, the Christ child that she was carrying in the garden basically said, it's not my will, but thine be done. Some of us present right now are a little more hard-headed than others. I am. But God has taught me how to be a little softer, especially towards Him. And not act like I am, I will, I can do it. But may God's will be done, and with the strength that He gives me, may He shine through my life, even though I'm in a wheelchair, even though I have my limits, where before I didn't have very many. I ran. I scuba dived. I would build church buildings up to 3 stories high. I would build parsonages I wouldn't even build. I would also make the block. I had my own machine. I would buy the sand in the Portland, mix it up, and make the block and build the building from ground zero. All the electrical, all the plumbing, everything. I know how. Now I'm the guy in a wheelchair in the shade teaching others. And it's harder. I wish I could be there doing it yet, but God does not have that for me. And sometimes we have to sit back and reflect and say, I feel a little out of place. Where is my place? What is God's will for me today, tomorrow? And we can look into the future and say, I'm the kind that likes to plan and write things down on a calendar. Funny thing to God has taught us, I'm time conscious. I'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. Some people are like that, others aren't. You show a calendar to a Guarani Indian. Some of them are educated. Most of them aren't. They have no idea what a calendar is. We have not learned Guarani. Half of them, maybe a little more, know Portuguese. But then we have a translator for the rest of them. And if you say July, the translator will look at us and do this. They don't have July. We say next Thursday. They don't have Thursday. They don't have Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday, or Saturday. They don't have it. And then you say, last week was my birthday. It wasn't. Mine was 26th of May. I turned 60. We say, on my birthday. They don't have the word birthday. Imagine God sends you to minister to a nation of people that is very, very, very different. And you have to change gears. And you have to sit back and say, now wait a minute. This is my place because God sent me here for a purpose, to evangelize, to plant churches, to teach them that God has a place for them, to teach them that there is a God that loves them because the God that they were raised, and they have their prayer huts, okay? And you can feel the presence of evil, and they have demon gods carved out of wood, and they're terrible. And they're taught from their childhood, if you do this, the demon god will get you. If you do that, the demon god will get you. And sometimes if you do nothing, the demon god will still get you. My, what? Boy, I want to follow that god. And then we come along and say there's a God that created you. And they say, we believe in creation. Now there's something that's... They don't have a calendar, but they've been taught down through the generations from way back that there is a God creator. Imagine that. Take the guys down there that don't believe in creation, the evolutionists. They will stop them in their tracks and say, no, no, we didn't evolve from a monkey. We were created by a... And we take them to the first verse in the Bible. In the beginning, God created. He not only created you, he loves you. And it shocks them. Because the only God they were taught about was the demon God that... He's the boogeyman, and he is out to get you no matter what. And what a joy it is to see the change in their life. When I said, God loves you, and he wants you to love him back, he wants you to shine for him. Right now, it's really hard for them. Because the people that we have taught to... are half-breeds. They have jobs off the reservation. Now they're not being allowed on the reservation because of COVID. And it's real complicated, but there are men that we have trained in the villages, and they're taking on the work from where we left off, and we praise the Lord for them. Find our place. Ask the Lord daily, weekly. Say, I'm a planner. Could you please give me a peek 6 months, a year ahead of time? You know, or maybe you say, I like surprises, Lord. Maybe there are people like that. I'm sure there are. I don't plan, let it happen. Whatever it is, we should be like Mary. And the people we minister to, they go, wow. That's neat. Then I said, go on down to verses 40, 41, 42. Where Mary, carrying the Christ child, went to her cousin's house, and I imagine she walked 2 or 3 days to get there, 3 months pregnant. And some theologians say this is a verse of a song, what she said was sung. So she was musically inclined. She made up a song. And when her cousin answered the door, she burst into song. And in that song, she declared the Christ child she was carrying as her Lord and her Savior. Wow. Sometimes we're in the street, sometimes we're in a park, sometimes we're at a doorway on a sidewalk. And I look them in the eye and I say, have you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior? Why, no. I said, well, are you planning on going to heaven? Yeah. I said, on what? And they bring up works. Or I'm a baptized member of the... And I said, do you think Mary said she's going to heaven on works? Or she's trusting on the Christ child she was carrying? To be her Savior. And then I asked him the key question. I said, do you think you're better than Mary? And that you're going to sidestep a step she had to take to be able to get into heaven? And they get almost offended. Why no? And I said, well, accept Christ as your Savior or you will never, never go to heaven. And they say, well, why doesn't my church teach that? And I said, good question. Ask it. Bev and I have led quite a few folks to Christ. Just through this simple story of, you know, she accepted her place. She accepted Christ as her Savior. And you should too. Now, I don't need to only find our place. We need to pray for the world. The world is in a bad spot right now. And I'm not one to stand up and say, good job, Lord. You're judging the earth. And there are families hurting because they've lost family members, lost friends. And this is a judgment of the Lord. It might be. But right now we should hurt with those who are hurting. We should cry with those who are crying. We should do our part and shine and share the Lord. I truly believe that is our place right now. Say, we don't have all the answers, but God does. And I totally rely on Him. And maybe you can even say every morning in my prayers, I say, Lord, help me do your will today. And you know He will guide you. He will guide me. And in your prayers also, pray for the world. Something funny if you like to go online. One day I tried it and it drove me crazy, so I turned it off. There's something called the Worldometer. Every time a baby is registered, he shows up on that Worldometer and it just goes nuts, okay? Why send out missionaries? Why pray for missionaries? Why pray for the lost souls of the world? Look how many millions are born in thousands in no time at all. Just during the time that you have your devotional, turn on the Worldometer someday and leave it running. And I had to turn it off halfway through my devotions, okay? I will tell you, it bothered me on how many people are being born. Our world is going to have 8 billion people in it in maybe even this year. We need to pray for the world. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. I exhort, therefore, that we first of all... Sorry, I usually have my PowerPoint, and I put it up there so you know where I'm at. First of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. We should pray for everybody. Even those who we don't really appreciate being around. We should pray for them also. for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will. What is God's will? His will is that all men be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. If they don't get saved, they at least have the knowledge that there is a God that loves them, that there is a God that has a place for them, and that place starts at salvation. And whose job is it to share? Ours. Is it easy? Sometimes it is not. But the will of God is that. Not my will, but thine be done. That was our Savior that said that. Find our place. We need to pray. We need to proclaim. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. We will see the big picture on this day. Why we should put out the extra effort to send out missionaries. Why we should put out the extra effort to pray. Why we should put out the extra effort to shine when most of those around us are not shining. No one else is. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And on that day when we're all gathered together in this song, hopefully it's a little longer than this, but hopefully this is just a preview. When this song is proclaimed, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you will be present. I will be present. All those that we have led to Christ will be present. We have worked in 14 church plants, and we have taught them to go out and start other churches. The last count I have is 33, and there's one coming up right now, 34, that they have gone out and started. So, as representatives of our Lord in your church, we personally have been a part of 14 church plants, and they have gone on and started 33 and soon to be 34, and we're praying that even more in the future. You will see that it's worth it all to find our place and thank the Lord for it. No matter what, shining for Him every day. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your Word that teaches us, if we only open it with an attitude to learn, Lord, may we shine for You in our place here on earth till You call us home. And may this joyous day, when there will be people from every kindred and tongue and people and nation together, praising Your name in a new song. May we look forward to that day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Pastor.
We can all stand.